Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Summer Camp 2026 with guest speaker, Pastor Nick Devencentis. We hope it blesses you and we hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Liam. Yes, I have some props because someone said to me yesterday, I really love the visuals. So I had to, you know, think creatively, and I've got some more visuals, but I'll get to this later. How are we doing, Frontline? Sorry, I'm just not organized this morning. Get my Bible. Who slept well? Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's serious? How's your posture? Come on, show me your posture. That's it. Yes, you guys get it. I love it. Do you know, I just want to say before I start, I have loved being at this camp with you. And it's been such a joyful, wonderful time. And so I just want to say thank you for having me and thanks for hanging out. It's been awesome to just get to know. Obviously, I know lots of people. There's lots I don't know. It's been lovely to just get to know you. And what blesses me the most is like last night, seeing people respond, seeing people just come before God and pour their hearts out. That is like the greatest gift that you could give God, but for me as well. And so just be encouraged to continue to do that. And thank you for blessing me with how you've been hungry and how you've been seeking after God. Give yourselves a clap. Come on, give yourselves a clap. You guys are awesome and it has been awesome and it's going to get better. So yesterday, who remembers what we talked about? What was the title yesterday? Don't look down. Say it again. Don't look down. So yesterday we talked about not looking down, not looking at our earthly, looking at the things of earth and putting away our earthly nature and the things that belong to our old life. And we talked about sin and we talked about weeding our spiritual gardens and repentance. But you know what? That was just like part one, okay? That was like the first half, because today we get to the really exciting bit. Today we get to like part two of what we talked about yesterday, because as we put off our old self, we put on our new self, all right? If we died and left the stuff behind, then today we're going to look at what it means to live our new lives, because remember, we have been raised with Christ and we get to live new lives, and so we're going to look at what those new lives look like. And so let's go to Colossians, get your Bibles out, and hopefully you've got it bookmarked. Colossians chapter 3, yell out when you got it. Got it, well done, so quick, I love it. Let me know if I'm going too fast, you need me to slow down. I'm just going to give you a minute, give you a moment. Get this stuff out. All right, how are we going? We got it? Got it? Who's waiting? No, we're not waiting. All right, so we are up to Colossians 3, verse 10, all right? We left off at verse 9 yesterday. So let's read verse 10. We got it on the screen. Excellent. Thank you, Meredith. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So this is where we're up to. And so I love how it says that we need to learn to know our Creator. You know, when we come into relationship with Jesus and we become a follower, we actually, it's a process. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we like become a Christian and we like get this download and we know God and we know everything about Him and it's just like instant. There's actually like a journey that we go on and it's a learning process. And so if you're someone you're like, I don't know much and I feel like I should know more, it's okay. Okay, I'm still learning. I am still learning about God, and I've been a Christian for like decades. And so it is a learning process. And here's the thing that I want to encourage us in. As we put on our new nature, right, those old clothes don't fit us, right, the ones that Andy showed us that don't fit us, we've outgrown them. As we live our new lives, as we learn about God, do you know what happens? We naturally become like Him. Sometimes we like can strive and I wish I was better and I'm just not getting it. But here's the thing, like take the pressure off. When you put on your new selves, when you do what Paul is asking us in the Bible, when you learn about God and you begin that process, as you do that, you naturally, it's a natural outworking that you become more like God. As you pursue the things above, not the things on earth, you're going to become more like God above. And so that's an encouragement, and I hope that you, you get that. I got a quote, and this is going to form the title of my message, and it's a bit of an old quote, but I think that you can handle it. And it says this, of that good man, let this high praise be given. Heaven was in him before he was in heaven. Can we just say that last part together? Heaven was in him before he was in heaven. Say it again. Heaven was in him before he was in heaven. Let's do one for the ladies. Heaven was in her before she was in heaven. Come on. Heaven was in her before she was in heaven. And I just love that. I love the idea that if heaven's up here and we're down here, if we're going to have a heart like heaven, then heaven needs to live in us. Heaven needs to be inside of us. And we talk about Jesus living in our hearts and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, but heaven can live in us too. All right, we are carriers of heaven. And so that's my message today, heaven in me. And we're going to get practical. Who loves a practical sermon? And we're going to look at four things for what it means to have heaven in me. Is that cool? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God in heaven that is knowable and that you want us to know you. And Father, I just pray that as I share your word this morning, Father, I pray that you would only let what comes out of my lips what you want to say to your people. And I pray that you would give them ears to hear, minds that would be transformed, hearts that would receive you. Father, I pray that you would give revelation to people this morning. And I just ask that you would have your way. Help me to be empowered by your Holy Spirit as I share your word in your precious name. Everyone said, amen. All right, number one, remember your heavenly identity. Remember your heavenly identity. Isn't it funny? Not funny. That Dan's word last night, I want to thank you for your obedience, Dan, in sharing that. The Dan's word last night was about identity. And you know, when God says the same thing through different people, it's not that God has run out of things to say. It's that God is trying to get a message across. And so I believe that there is some people here and you really need to be reminded and be encouraged in your identity. And so it's really important that we remember our heavenly identity. So let's go to verse 12 of Colossians. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And so Paul is telling us who we are right now. He's letting us know who we are. And who we are is loved by God. That's just a fact. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to try to be lovable. You don't have to look lovable. You're just loved by God. And you are dearly loved by God. Okay? That never changes. There is nothing, the Bible says, that can separate us from the love of God. But you know what else Paul says? He says that you are holy, that we are dearly loved and holy. And this one tends to be a bit of a harder one to believe because often we don't feel very holy and sometimes we don't look very holy. And so it can be hard to believe that we are holy. But you know what? That's the Bible. The Bible says that. This is not me telling you you're holy. This is God telling you that you're holy. So to be holy really means to be set apart. And when we come to Jesus, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we are forgiven, right? We are cleansed and we are washed clean. We get like a spiritual shower, right? All the old stuff, all the sin, all the old ways, it's washed clean. And so there is a positional holiness that we inherit from God. I'm going to say that again. When we come to Jesus, there's a positional holiness that we inherit from him. But it doesn't stop there. Because we also need to live holy lives. It's twofold. God, who is a holy God, makes us holy. But he also expects us to cultivate a lifestyle of holiness. Remember our old life, we had old Nick, lifestyle of sin. New Nick still battles with sin, but it's not a lifestyle. New Nick, lifestyle of holiness. Can we go to that next slide, that scripture in 1 Peter? It says this. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage, because it is written, you shall be holy, which is to be set apart, for I am holy. So this is God just confirming this. This is God reminding you, you are holy. You have been made holy by me, but you are to live holy lives because you are holy. And so we got to understand that heaven is full of holiness, right? We sung about it this morning. God in heaven is there and he is full of holiness and there are angels just singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty all day. They don't ever stop. God is holy, okay? And when we set our hearts and our minds to the things above, we are actually expressing a desire to be holy. The goal is that we live holy lives and we pursue holiness. Now here's the thing, because we don't feel holy, and because we might not look holy, the enemy will tell us, you can't be holy. Are you kidding? You got weeds in your garden. You struggle. The world's not holy. You got no chance of being holy. Puh, you can't be holy. That's the voice of the enemy. Who's heard that voice? I've heard that voice before. It's a loud voice. Now you can believe him, Satan, who is the father of lies, or you can believe the Bible. You can believe the living, active Word of God. You can believe Satan, who hates you and is out to destroy you because he is a thief and a killer and a robber, or you can believe God, who loves you, who sent his son to die on a cross for you, who made you holy. It's your choice. I can't make the decision for you. You got to choose what you believe, Frontline. Remember, this is your walk. It's your faith journey. It's your resurrection life. And so you got to choose what you believe. We can either listen to the lies of the enemy or we can listen to the truth of God. Please listen to God's truth. Please listen to God's truth. And so we need, if we're going to live with heaven in us, we need to live out of our heavenly identity, okay? We need to live out of that identity. So we are living, right, in this world, in this earthly world, but we are living knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're holy, knowing that we're citizens of heaven. We need to live our lives here on earth, but we need to live them according to what the Bible says about us. And hence why I've got this fruit. And it's a bit of a silly picture, but I want you to see it. There's fruit here, and I can only hold two pieces. But let's say that the fruit is on the same shelf, all right? There's two pieces of fruit. They're both round. I didn't mean for that orange to be so big, but let's say they're the same size. They're both fruit. They're both on the shelf at the supermarket. But one's an orange and one's an apple. See, one is different and set apart, but the orange is living among all of the apples. Now, they kind of look almost the same. If you were in the dark, they're kind of round, and yet they're different. And that's how we got to be. It's kind of really silly and really stupid. But we're called to be oranges in a land of apples. And we need to remember that even though we got apples all around us, and maybe there's green apples and there's red apples, we're an orange. And we're called to be set apart. We're called to be different. And sometimes we can forget. We need to remind ourselves. All right? Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. That, that's just an apple. We don't have to care about that. The struggle with our identity is what we believe, because we can hear it and we read it and we're told it, but because we don't feel it, we doubt that it's true. And so if we're going to live out of our heavenly identity here on earth, we have to remind ourselves who we are all the time. We have to remind ourselves daily. We have to silence the lies of the enemy, and we have to declare our identity over ourselves every single morning. And when I say declare, I don't just mean read it. I don't just mean think it. I mean declare. I mean say it. Say to yourself, over yourself, every day when you get up, I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am holy. I am a citizen of heaven. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am God's masterpiece. That is the stuff that we need to be reminding ourselves of. We need to be active in it. If we're serious, we're going to act like it. And I know that that might sound weird to like be in a room and just talk things over yourself. Well, I believe in the power. The Bible says that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And so I believe that there is actually power when we say things over ourselves. It's true of the negative and it's true of the positive. And so we need to learn to not just mumble it. We need to say it with conviction. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And, you know, when we forget what we look like, you know, when you wake up and you're kind of like, you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you see like how bad your hair is and there's sleep there and a bit of drool maybe, and you just fix yourself up. Well, sometimes we're going to forget who we are, because, again, we live in a land of apples, right? We might start thinking that we're an apple. We need to look in the mirror and remind ourselves. And do you know what our mirror is if we're a Christian? It's the Word of God. This is our mirror. This is the book that we need to look in when we forget who we are. Don't look to the world. Don't look online. Please don't look online to find out who you are. Don't look to other people. Look to the one who made you. Look to your creator. Look to the one who formed you. Look to him to see who you are and to remind yourself of who you are. God is calling us to be a people that walk into our Monday mornings and our Wednesday afternoons and our Saturday nights with a deep conviction of who we are and who we belong to, so that no matter what situation you come up in life, you are going to live and behave and act out of your new heavenly identity. Amen? Come on. Number two, we need to put on our heavenly clothes. Now, yesterday, we saw Andy try to put on those old clothes, right? That he had outgrown. They didn't fit him. But you know what? How good is God that he doesn't leave us with no clothes? God gives us new clothes to put on. And so we can read about those new clothes in verse 13. Let's just continue. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So these things is what we should be getting dressed in every single day. Not just on a Sunday, not just at camp, not just on a Friday night when we, you know, think that we need to look really good, but we need to get dressed every day. And again, do you guys, like, get up in the morning and say, Mom, can you dress me? Mom, can you put my pants on? Anyone? No, because you're grown up. You don't have to get dressed by your parents. Little, like, Nora gets dressed by Matt, but soon she's going to grow up and dress herself. And so we can't look to other people to dress ourselves. We've got to get dressed up in the morning. And sometimes we forget, right? Sometimes we forget to put on our patience pants. Anyone ever forgot to put on their patience pants? This is the piece of clothing I sometimes forget to put on. I'm not naturally a very patient person, and I forget to put on my patience pants sometimes. Sometimes we forget to put on our forgiveness fleece or our gentle jumper. It's the same thing, because whatever. Sometimes we forget to put on our humble hoodie. Nice, you like that? Sometimes we forget to put on our compassion cap. Sometimes, is that it? Have I done them all? Kindness cap. Yes. No, compassion. I've said compassion because C is compassion. Kindness is K, Matt. Anyway, you get the point, okay? I had fun making those things up. I hope you remember them. But these are the things that when the world looks at us, they need to see that stuff in us. Remember that we live new lives. And so just like you get dressed every single morning, you don't walk out of the house naked. You've got to get dressed in your spiritual clothes. You've got to get dressed in your spiritual clothes because people need to see those things in us. And you know the reason that we can forgive and have compassion and be gentle and show kindness? Because God has done that for us. God has loved us. God has been compassionate with us. God has been gentle and gracious and patient with us and kind to us. And so we only give out what we have received from him. Number three. So we got number one, remember your heavenly identity. Number two, clothe yourselves with heavenly clothes. Number three, get heavenly habits. And so I'm talking about having spiritual disciplines, spiritual routines in place in your life. And so what are those spiritual routines? Come on, yell them out. Reading your Bible, what else? Praying, what else? Attending church, yes, what else? Praise, thank you. Worship should be a discipline. I think that every day we should be listening to some form of worship. Not the only thing, but, well, it's really all I listen to, because it's important what goes in our ears, right? And so we've got to put worship and praise as part of our routine. And you know, so often we have such good intentions with this stuff, don't we? Start of the year, we're like, yes, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, I'm going to praise, I'm going to be like regular with my church, and we have the best of intentions, but how easy is it for those things to just fall away as the year goes on and we drop those habits? And I've been there. Like, that's hard for me to keep those habits. And so no, none of us are perfect. We all struggle with keeping this stuff in place. But here's the thing that I want to encourage you in. Sometimes when we start a habit and a good habit and we let it go and we get really discouraged and we think, well, what's the point, right? I try and I try and I do it and then I forget and I don't do it. So what's the point? I just won't even bother. Don't have that attitude. Can I say, if you've lost a habit and you need to pick it up, just start again. Just start again. If you miss a day, start again the next day. If you miss a week, start again the next week. If you miss a month, start the next month. Don't let the discouragement, don't let, you know, self-doubt, don't let pity get in the way of you starting to pick up those habits again, because we're all going to drop them, but we just got to pick them up again, okay? And so my encouragement is just start again, start again. Now, there's a habit that I want to mention, and it's a habit of thinking heavenly thoughts. See, when Paul tells us in verse 1 to set our minds on things above, what he's saying is let your attitudes and let your responses be formed by heaven. Let the way that you think about the world, let the way that you look at the world be shaped and governed by the realities of heaven, by the things above. And I want to put up a scripture, and it's one that you guys would have heard so many times before, and yet it is so, so powerful. It is Philippians 4 verse 8, and I think we've got it on the screen, and it says this: finally, brothers, whatever is true, say true, whatever is honorable, say honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about such things. Now, this verse is used so much in church and youth and school as well. It's not complicated. It's actually really simple. But is this your habit? Is thinking this way a habit that you have in your life? Because it takes discipline to think like this. Do you just read that and go, yeah, that's cool, that's a nice idea? Or do you practice this way of thinking? If we actively thought about this stuff that was in verse 8, can you imagine what our lives would be? Can you imagine what our lives would look like if we only thought about the things that fit into those 8 categories? If we actively rejected the lies of the enemy and the negative thinking and we only thought about that, we would be unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. You want to know how to be holy? How to be an orange? Think like that. Thinking like that feeds holiness, feeds a lifestyle of holiness. And I've got this, and I'm sure some of you have heard this analogy. Who's heard of the letterbox analogy? Oh, not that many people. Okay, I need to do it. I wasn't going to do it. I wish I came up with this because it's so good, but I didn't, so I can't take credit. Who's got a letterbox at home? Everyone's got a letterbox at home. No one gets mail, everyone gets emails. But we have a letterbox. Now, we can't control the mail that the postman puts in, can we? Come on, give me something. We can't control the mail that the postman puts in. He's just going to put whatever he wants in there. Junk mail, bills, letters, like, I don't know, those bags, donation bags. You have no control over what the postman puts in your letterbox. But what you do have control over, listen, focus, let's be attentive. What you have control over is what letters you open and what letters you throw away. The postman doesn't control that. And our mind is like a letterbox. This is an awesome letterbox that Sass and me made. And it's very professional looking. And our mind is like a letterbox, okay? And so when you get a letter, you can look at it and you can be like, oh, that's a thought of comparison. You know what? I'm not going to read that. No, doesn't fit into that category that Philippians 8 is talking about. Check the mailbox again. Ooh, got some lies of the enemy. Nah, not going to read that either. What about, they're all bad ones. What about the thought that I'm dumb? I'm stupid. Nah, not going to read that either. Let's get some good letters, hey? There's a lot of bad ones here. I probably wrote out too many. Here we are. Oh, hang on. There's a thought that's truth. There's a scripture that just came into my mind. You know what? I'm going to read that. Yep, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take it with me into my day. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to think on that. And I'm going to take that with me. And we get another one. Oh, a thought that I'm alone and no one cares about me and like there's no one here for me. I'm not going to read it. Do you want me to keep going or do you get it? Keep going? All right, let's keep going. What about the thought of I'm unworthy? And does that fit into that category? Nah. Am I going to read it? Nah. I'm going to put it away because Jesus died for me. Jesus died if there was only me on earth. So you know what? I must be of worth to God. That's that thought. Let's get another one. Tell me when to stop. I'll just keep going all day. Praiseworthy. Oh, that's praiseworthy. I heard a great report. Someone like got something that they were praying for. I'm just going to think about that. I'm going to think about how, you know, like God answers our prayers. You're worthy of praise. God, you're holy. I'm going to think about that all day. I'm just going to take that, put that in my pocket, read it for later. Tell me when to stop. I'll keep going. Thought that I'm a failure. Throw it. Chuck it. I'm not a failure. I'm Christ's masterpiece. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to think about that all day long. Let's go another one. Ugly. Bin it? Or should I just think about, oh, I don't look like that person. Oh, I don't look like how I want to look. No, but God made you because he's your creator and he says we're a masterpiece and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So I ain't going to read that. Goes in the bin. Come on. What else? Lovely. Oh, I heard about Nathan and Jez's engagement. So lovely. Oh, I'm just going to think about that. I'm just going to walk outside and I'm going to look at that those beautiful hydrangeas. They're the blue flowers, by the way, if you don't know your plants. They're lovely. I talked to my kid about that. I said, guess what? We're going to pick some of those hydrangeas when you come up to camp. That's lovely. Let's think about that. Oh, sorry. No, bring it back. Bring it back. Sorry. It's lovely. Let's think about those hydrangeas. What else? Inferior. What about that thought? I'm inferior. I'm not like that person. I'm just no good. I've got no gifts. I've got nothing to bring. Get rid of it. I think I've almost run out. I know you guys like that game. We can play it later. But do you get my point? Do you get it? We are going to get bombarded every day with thoughts. But if we can make it our habit, if we can make it a daily discipline to reject the lies and reject anything that doesn't fall into Philippians 4:8, we would be unrecognizable. We would be on fire. We would have a heart like heaven. We would be holy. We would be set apart. We would be light in this dark world. So frontline, get heavenly thoughts. Amen? Come on. Let's go. Number four, last one. We've got to practice peace. Next verse in Colossians 3:15, and it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts to which you're indeed called in one body and be thankful. Do you know what we often let rule in our hearts? Instead of peace, emotions and feelings, whatever catches our eye, whatever looks good. You know, that's what happened to Eve in the garden. She let what looked good, that fruit looked good and pleasing, and she let that rule in her heart. But Paul's like, nah, that's not the way you think anymore. You are living new lives. You used to let emotions and feelings and what looked good and earthly desires rule in your old life. Old Nick, that's what she used to let rule in her heart. But you're living new lives. You've been raised with Christ and you've got a different ruler in your heart and the ruler is the peace of Jesus. That's what needs to rule in our hearts. What does that look like? This is what it looks like. It means that peace acts like the umpire or the referee in your life. Now, I wanted to get one of those basketball ref. Is this supposed to be connected to something? How do you work it? Liam, can you fix this for me, please? Sorry to interrupt. Well, I'm not interrupting. I'm talking. But I wanted to get a referee jumper because this is a really good picture of what peace needs to look like in our lives. Peace needs to be the ref or the umpire. Sorry, I think you put it there and I broke it. It's not your fault, Liam. You might not be able to add, but you can put a horn together. Oh, it was already apart? So how do we use it? It's fun. That's what peace needs to be in our heart. Peace needs to be a ref and an umpire. So you think about sports, right? And I'm just going to go with ball sports, basketball. It's the ref that decides if the ball is out of court. It's the ref that decides if someone's done a foul. It's the ref that decides if you've traveled while you're playing. It's the ref that decides if you have broken a rule. The ref makes the final call in sports. And we need refs and we need umpires because it's what keeps the game fair. Okay? If there weren't refs in tribal wars, you guys would be like, it would be chaos, all right? Now, you don't always like the calls that they make, but you need them. And it's true in sports as well. And we mentioned it, I think, yesterday in church news. We don't always like the calls that the umpire makes, do we? What do we do when they make a call we don't like? Boo! bad call. You suck. What? Who's ever had a bad call in a game and you've like really disagreed? Yeah. And are you like white line fever people? Are you like just yelling at them? Yeah, you get thrown out for doing that these days. Even like parents can't do that when they watch their kids play. Aaron's like, shh, be quiet. And so the thing is, it's possible to disagree with a ref or an umpire. It happens all the time, right? Yet it doesn't matter how much you don't like their decision, they're the ones that have the final say. Have you ever been in a situation where the ref has gone, they've made a call, you're like, bad call, and they're like, oh, really? Tell me more. Did I make a mistake? I think I might have. Let's chat about this. Can you tell me what else I've done wrong? Has anyone ever had a ref do that? No. You have? Well, put your hand down, Judah, because you're ruining my sermon. Most refs, I'm just kidding. Most refs don't do that. I would say that if a ref actually changes his mind, that is very uncommon. Most of the time, the ref has the final say and the final call. And so that's what the peace of Jesus needs to be in our life. The peace of Jesus needs to have the final say and the final call in our hearts. And so if you don't have peace about a friendship, if you don't have peace about a relationship that you're in, if you don't have peace about going to a party, if you don't have peace when you go over to a friend's house about the things that you're doing in that friend's house, if you don't have peace about what you're watching, if you don't have peace about what you're reading, if you don't have peace about what you're listening to, if you don't have peace about what you're scrolling online, if you don't have peace about a decision that you're making, if you don't have peace, then even when everyone else is saying, it doesn't matter, who cares, don't worry, what's the big deal? Who are you going to let be the umpire? Are you going to let peer pressure be the umpire? Are you going to let FOMO be the umpire? Are you going to let confusion be the umpire? Or are you going to let the peace of Jesus be the umpire? Even when it's something that you want to do, right? Because there are times when the peace of Jesus is going to be sounding that horn and you're like, but I don't want to because that's my flesh and I want to do that. Who are you going to let be the umpire? Sometimes the peace of Jesus is going to make a call that even you don't like, because it's going to be your old nature coming through and it's going to be your flesh. We've got to let the peace of Jesus be the final say. And that is what Paul is talking about. Let me just put up the Amplified. I'm not sure if I have it, the Amplified version. It sort of explains it a bit more. It says, let the peace of Christ, which is the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. Let's ensure that we make the peace of Jesus, not anyone, not any other person, not any other thing, be the controlling factor in our hearts. Amen? So how do you get that peace? Well, it says it right there. The one who walks daily with him. If you want peace to rule in your heart, if you want to get the peace of Jesus, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. If you want that peace, you get it by having a close relationship with him. You get it by walking closely daily with him. See, this is where those daily disciplines come in. This is where if you've got those daily habits in place, you're going to get the peace so much more easier. It's so much harder to let the peace rule and reign and make a loud sound when we don't have those daily disciplines in place. But when you've been praying and when you've been worshiping and when you've been listening to scripture and you've been thinking those heavenly thoughts, it's so much easier and you pick up on that peace so much more quickly. And it doesn't take as long. Do you see how it all like feeds and connects? If you want peace, you got to think about heaven. If you want heaven, you got to practice peace. It all connects. You get your thinking heart, you get your thinking right, you get your heart right. And perhaps if we can have the worship team up, because I'm about done. But I just want to finish off by saying, and so we had those four things, right? Those four habits. If you want heaven in you, you got to remember your heavenly identity. You got to put on your heavenly clothes. You've got to get heavenly habits. And you've got to practice peace. And Paul says that we need to seek the things above, all right? And that word seek, do you know what it means? It means that we desire it. It means that we have a passion for it. It means we choose it. It means we chase it. It means we track it down. We seize it. We hold on to it. It means that we get serious. It means that we gaze at it, we dig into it, we understand it, we taste it, we savor it, we treasure the things of heaven. This, this life that we live, this resurrection life, this new life, it's not passive. We don't get to have a heart after heaven. We don't get to have heaven in me by just sitting there, by just shuffling along, eyes to the ground, doing nothing. We can't expect this stuff to just come to us. We have a part to play. This is what it means to live new lives, that we seek and we crave and we pursue the realities above. Why? Because we are above. Remember what Paul said earlier? Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are citizens of heaven, and so we need to start thinking like them. And so I want to pray for a couple of people. Before I do, I just want to, can we put up the prayer, Meredith? And I forgot to put up yesterday morning's prayer, and so I can give that to you at another time. But if, you know, take your phone out and take a shot of it, or we'll leave it up there. There's two parts of it. But if you want to pray in your own time about what I've just talked about, then I've written out a prayer that you can pray. And it's not complicated, it's not long, but they're just going to be simple reminders of what I've spoken about. And let that be in your prayer journal. And so when you've written that down, or when you've taken a photo, if you can put up the next slide, Meredith, that'd be great. And I want to pray for two types of people. I want to pray for people that have struggled to believe what God says about them. And you struggle in your mind, and it's a battle, and your mind is a battle, and you just cannot, you're relying so much on how you feel that you're not believing what the truth says. I want to pray if that's you. But I also want to pray for peace. I want to pray for people that want that peace and for a desire for that peace. And so as we worship this morning, and maybe everyone can stand up and just be ready, get your posture right. Just keeping an attitude of prayer, and you can come forward if you want. And you know, the altar is always here if you want prayer. And if you want prayer for this stuff, one-on-one prayer, then just come forward and get it. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you, and we want to lift you up. But I just want to pray over you as a group. And so if that's you and you struggle in your mind, I want you to put your hand up. Come on. There's more people. I know it. Don't be afraid. Let's be real. If you're struggling to believe what God says about you and you need help with your thoughts, then I want to pray for you. So if that's you, I want you to just raise your hands to heaven and we expect God to do something in you. Father, we come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the heaven, the God of heaven. And we say, God, help us to have a mind like you, Jesus. Father, I lift up every single person who struggles to believe what you say about them, who has this battle in their mind, and they so easily believe the wrong thing and the lies and the negativity. Father, I pray for just a breaking right now in the spiritual, that you would just bring a freedom, that we would push back the lies of the enemy. Enemy, we stand against you in the name and in the power, in the blood of Jesus. And we reject your lies. We reject the untruth. We reject the deceit. We reject everything that you have done to capture minds. And we say, no more. It ends now. It ends this morning. You have no place. You have no hold. These are a people who belong to Jesus. These are a people who have been bought with a price. They are holy, and they are dearly loved, and they are masterpieces, and they are fearfully and wonderfully made. They are citizens of heaven. And Father, I pray and I ask that you would help to transform their thinking right now, that you would bring freedom into minds that have been held captive by the enemy for too long, that, Lord, that you would direct people's eyes to the things above, that you would set their minds to focus on truth, that you would give them a desire and a burning and a longing for truth, that there would be a fire in them that just wants to get truth into them. They just want to listen to truth. They want to read truth. They want to meditate on truth. And as the truth goes in and as God's word goes in, it transforms your mind. And so, Father, I pray your protection over minds this day. I pray that, Father God, that you would help us to develop a habit of heavenly thinking. Father God, that your Holy Spirit would be prompting that when we start going down a track of negative thinking, of lies, a downward spiral, that your Holy Spirit would just arrest us and say, that's not the way you're thinking anymore. And then we would go, all right, no worries, I'm back on track. So, Father, I just pray that, Holy Spirit, you would come upon people in power and that minds would be transformed and that belief would increase in you, Jesus, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, and then second group of people, you don't have peace. There is a struggle for peace in your life. If that's you, put your hand up. You want to know the peace of God. There is confusion. You know what is the opposite of peace? Is confusion. If you are someone that has confusion in your life, whether it's about who you are or about a decision that you're going to make or a situation that you're in and you don't know what to do, then you need peace. You need the peace of Jesus. And so if that's you, I want you to just raise your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you that you are not a God of confusion, but you are a God of peace. You are our Prince of Peace. Jesus, your gift to us is that you would leave us your peace. And again, we know that confusion is from the enemy. And so, Father, I pray against hearts that are just tied up with the wrong umpire, with confusion, where there is just the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, Father, I pray that right now that peace would come into people's hearts and be that umpire. That peace would come in and be the one that settles decisions. Confusion would go in the name of Jesus and people would have clarity like never before. That there would be a removing of the fog that is in people's hearts and minds right now and there would be just an assurance right now that people would know the peace of Jesus in a powerful and mighty way. And so, Lord, give us your peace as we worship you right now. I pray that you would just encourage us, that you would equip us, the Holy Spirit, that you would come upon us in power so that we can live with heaven inside of us. We're going to sing frontline. We're going to worship. If you need prayer, then come forward. If you need to let stuff go, if you've got business to do with God, then now is the time. Get serious with him. Amen? Come on.